Thank you very much, everyone. So, drones, they are everywhere. I guess easy way to start is hands up if you own a drone or know someone who does. I guarantee if this was 10 years earlier, that would be a lot less hands. But everyone is talking about them. They are everywhere. The media in particular likes to talk about all sorts of interesting things, like how drones are going to be flying boxes over our heads in 3 days' time. I'm still waiting for that to happen. But they are just everywhere. And there have been a lot of changes over the years and a lot of speculation, I guess, and hype. And what I kind of want to talk about is what is actually going on. What is where actually is the technology? I'm trying to ignore all of the spikes of one incident happening. Everyone talks about it, and then everyone forgets about it. So traditionally, drones controlled by radio, although fiber optic is another growing method. But effectively, with radio, you need direct line of sight. There are range limits. You can't have obstacles, so no trees, no big buildings. DJI claims 10 kilometers. I have flown my DJI drone. It does not go more than 1 kilometer. So there is a record of 100 kilometers using ERS. Some insane person managed to fly it. Not sure how long it took, but 100 kilometers on ELRS, but that used quite powerful transmissions that your average person probably shouldn't be blasting throughout England. So one alternative that has been spoken about, but perhaps not as much as I'd like it to be spoken about, is satellites. Using satellites to control drones. And you may think, this is a solved problem. The US military has been doing this since 1994, albeit less for fun or science, more for blowing up children. But they are able to control big drones from Las Vegas, going about 2,000 kilometers from their home base. These are very nice. They do work. You can control drones with satellites. Talk over? No, because last time I checked, I didn't have £30 million in my bank account. So I guess I'm not buying that. But that's just for the drone as well, not for the custom military satellites or the missiles or anything else the drones come with. And I guess there is quite a crude method that already exists. Technically, if you want to be technical, using GNSS. So I'm sure many people are aware you can control drones with just standard GNSS waypoints. I mean, is our RG pilot just putting some waypoints? Technically, GNSS comes from a satellite, therefore it's satellite controlled. So I guess problem solved? Not really. You can't actually talk to it via GNSS. So you just sort of have to set it off and hope it comes back, which I have personally seen it not come back before. So that's not recommended. And also, this is a map of current GNSS signal integrity across Europe as of Monday. There are a lot of places where GNSS will not work. So maybe if you are flying something over the lovely Wye Valley, you might be okay. But if you want to fly it in any of the red areas, it might not come back. So what are some alternative options, effectively? Some better ways to control drones from space. Probably the most obvious, most straightforward, is Starlink. Standard broadband internet uses, I believe at the moment, around 10,000 low Earth orbit satellites, around sort of 400 kilometers up. Standard broadband internet, I want to say it's like 700 megabit down, which is good for games. 25 millisecond latency. Sounds pretty straightforward. The antennas are quite chunky, and it is a bit expensive. However, unfortunately, Starlink is not really a good option, because I am not a Nazi. So moving on to potentially a better option, we have Globalstar. Probably more of a bit more of a standard IoT brand name. They have a LEO satellite network, 24, a bit less than 10,000, but you can still get as low as 25 millisecond latency. It's got existing IoT services, which give you the nice small form factor, good price for satellite control, to be fair. They have 28 ground stations in 18 countries. The RM200M, for example, can communicate with Globalstar. And you know, you can send and receive data. Sounds fairly straightforward. Unfortunately, Globalstar is not really Globalstar. The satellites cannot talk to each other with Globalstar. They have to be in range of a base station, which there are 28 of, and they only can be so far away from them. So I guess nobody in Greenland is going to be using Globalstar anytime soon. And similarly to Starlink, they were purchased by Amazon earlier this year. So I guess we're not really doing well for avoiding capitalism. But moving on to hopefully an option that isn't owned by an egotistical billionaire, Inmarsat, Viasat. Some of you may know this company for their tracking of various planes that have disappeared into who knows where. But Inmarsat are very different to Globalstar and Starlink. Inmarsat operates a fleet of geostationary satellites. So these, instead of spinning around the Earth, these stay in one place around the Earth with the orbit, about 35,000 kilometers up, which is quite high. Obviously, because of that distance, they're quite high latency. I don't know if anyone's tried FPV flying in particular, but waiting, you know, at fastest a second to move, probably not ideal if you're flying towards a building. It's also very expensive and very big. They are quite chunky, marine, waterproof units. They're very good for what they do, but putting one on a DJI drone is not going to go very far. I'm not sure the drone will fly. It's kind of essential. So the next option, Iridium. Iridium operates a wide fleet of 66 low Earth orbit satellites. They have a very wide range of services. They do IoT, telephony, asset tracking, all the right sort of form factor and price point for drones. And the latency, because they're low Earth orbit, is also acceptable. The figures vary a lot, but potentially as low as 300 milliseconds. So again, maybe we're not flying FPV drones or doing anything too critical with them, but it does work. And most importantly, actually got global coverage. It's surprising that Globalstar still doesn't. But yes, Iridium is fantastic. It is probably the best we've got at the moment, given the price, the size, and everything. And again, you can actually go around the globe, which I thought would be a lot more common for satellites, given they're quite high up. But how does this actually work in practice? Thankfully, I don't need to do that, because Skylift did that for me. Well, not for me, but. So Skylift is a small enterprise based in Portsmouth, in the south of England. They build drones. And effectively, they proposed to the NHS that they were to deliver chemotherapy drugs with a short shelf life from QA Hospital in South Portsmouth all the way to St Mary's Hospital on the Isle of Wight. For those not familiar, it's very slow getting between them, and it's very expensive. It's far too expensive, although it is nice going on a hovercraft. But yeah, when you've got patients who are waiting, you know, have to have days of blood work, and, you know, if they don't pass the blood work, they can't take the drug, but the drugs last one day, there are a lot of medicines being wasted because they have to make them and ship them over in a van through Portsmouth, which takes a very long time. So Skylift proposed flying them with drones, and they had the first major trial of BV loss, beyond visual line of sight, flying of drones in partnership with the Civil Aviation Authority, Maritime and Coast Guard Agency, and many, many other organisations, because it is very busy in the skies on the south of England. So they flew a number of drones from Fort Cumberland, right on the bottom of Portsmouth, to an unspecified part of the Isle of Wight. They used GNSS waypointing, technically satellites, I will argue that. And they also used Iridium short burst data as their communication system. So these drones were flying pretty much entirely off satellites. Now, Iridium, short burst data, what is it? So the Skylifts use this specific module in particular, the Rockblock NIC9603. So short burst data is a specific protocol of Iridium designed for IoT and asset tracking, widely used by a lot of companies. But rather than sticking it on a container ship in the middle of the ocean, they put it on a drone. And you can send and receive messages every 40 seconds, up to 100 kilobytes. It's plug and play. There's an API. It's actually not the worst documentation I've ever seen, which is impressive. And yeah, they use this to control it, both for status updates and for emergency communications. So should it not go where it should go, they can tell it, please do not crash into any planes or any boats, because that would be expensive. So what did we learn from these trials? The main thing is, in order to actually run beyond visual line of sight, you need a lot of coordination. There are a number of companies operating beyond visual line of sight on a regular basis, such as Zipline in parts of Africa like Rwanda and Ghana. But relative to the UK, those countries are much, much clearer in the skies. The UK is very congested. Pretty much everything cross Atlantic from Europe goes over England. There is far too much air traffic to just go, yeah, sure, fly some drones, try not to crash them. We all saw what happened at Gatwick Airport in 2018. But this trial fed directly into BV loss policy within government. Although, unfortunately, the biggest lesson learned wasn't to do with satellites or drones, really. It was more to do with the British weather. It was significantly postponed. They didn't get as much done as they wanted because it rained. And it stormed. Storm Eunice happened at the time, which was not good. So maybe we can't be doing this all year round in the UK, but what can we do in the UK these days because of the weather? Probably do it in this weather though. So yeah, what are some of the general issues that were both addressed by this trial and generally with satellites on drones? One of the important ones is integration. They are talked about a lot, but they are both still very much emerging technologies. There are no real fully out there all-in-one solutions that me and you can just buy. So a lot of the solutions, Skylift, Zipline, all the other companies are all making those bespoke with hundreds of hours of research from teams of engineers with government money. If we want to do it at home, it might end up looking a bit like a bomb. And I don't think being arrested is a great demonstration of the technology. I'm sure some solutions will emerge over time, but we really are a bit of a step away from this becoming consumer available, unfortunately. This next problem isn't really a problem for most of us. Bit more of a problem if you're flying somewhere like Ukraine where there is jamming. One of the highlights of SATCOM is that it's not the same frequency. They operate anywhere from in the 2.4 gigahertz bands to 20, 30 gigahertz. You can still jam them. The Russians have jammers everywhere that they are stopping anyone and everyone from doing stuff. So, but I guess, again, unless you're flying in Ukraine or somewhere else in Eastern Europe, this probably shouldn't be a problem for you, I'd hope. Signal strength is quite a big problem. So I took my own little satellite transceiver, the same one as used by Skylift, whacked it on my car in the middle of a field, on top of a hill, with no obstructions, nothing, and I let it run. And well, as you can see, I still didn't receive very good signal. With low-cost satellite solutions, you're having to cram quite a lot into quite a small package, and there's a long distance. A small, low-power antenna is going to struggle quite a lot of the time. So if you're trying to fly this indoors, it's not going to work. Trying to fly this around some trees, it's probably not going to work. And especially since a certain someone has now planted 20 million more trees, there's 20 million more places you cannot fly drones with satellites. So I guess the long and short of it is drones are cool, satellites are cool. We are still a very, very long way from Skynet actually taking over the world. I don't think it's going to be happening anytime soon, so don't worry. But yeah, thank you everyone for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to catch me around, but I hope this was interesting to some people.